do it kind of in secrecy, since he wasn't really free to do that in his home country. And between my non-existent Farsi and Ali's broken English, I knew I needed some assistance. And Fahim got me a Persian Bible and some resources, and we did sat down together as well sometimes with Ali to get us started. And I grown to love and appreciate this dear brother, and so I'm deeply grateful that he has agreed to come and to share with us this morning. I know he'll be sharing from the scriptures and some of his story as well. And especially, we live in a community with so many Iranian background people. And I just wanted you to know a great resource person as well, who God has done a great work in and is wanting to see more people's lives changed. And so I'd just like to pray for Fahim yet before he shares. Dear Lord, I thank you that you are the God who does amazing changes in people's lives, including our own. And Lord, though we recognize that we serve in brokenness and humbleness, and yet, Lord, as we're reminded, I'm reminded in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and yet in these earthen vessels, sometimes with cracked pots, Lord, you use us because you want your glory to shine through in the midst. Lord, I thank you for the ways that you continue to shine your glory in and through Fahim. Lord, I pray that you would bless him. Give him much freedom by your Spirit as he shares with us from your word and from his life. Lord, may it fall like dew upon our hearts that we might hear you and be challenged and inspired, Lord, in a deeper relationship with you, and Lord, to see others in our community, Lord, come into a life-changing relationship with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Amen. Hallelujah. It's okay. I mean, if you don't mind, I can walk sometime here. Is it okay? I'm glad I have this mic, because last one I was invited somewhere. Yeah, they gave me this mic so I cannot move, and I'm kind of excited guy. So, and you know, I look weird here because everybody, it's summer, everybody wearing like casual clothes. And you know, before I become Christian, I was kind of guy, he was very sporty and just never wear this dress and suit. But after I become Christian, certain things happen, and there are different, you know, opportunities that have gone some places, then I start dress up. And I promise that always for a church, I will dress up. So be careful what you're promising to the Lord. Because sometimes you're stuck in somewhere that you look weird because of your promise. But I like to stay in my promise anyway. But anyway, the Lord is good Lord. We can be, you know, sport, we can be casual, we can be anything. So, I mean, sometime in the bedroom, you know, he is with you. So thank you, Pastor Dave. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for allowing me to be part of you and just meet my family. You know, we are all part of same family, same church. You know, just a kingdom of God. We are all same in any countries, any nations. Once we start accept Jesus as our Lord, it means we are part of the family. And this is great that I see any times I go to new places, I realize how great and big family I have. It's give me more hope and give me more peace. And, you know, just like I enjoy. I rejoice in the Lord because he's great God. Well, I try to prepare and I ask Lord to help me to have something that I can bless others and I can bless myself too. Because as a pastor, I don't think that I'm the one only have to bring the things for you and speak and preach. I am also, in the same time as I preach, I'm listening to the Lord too. I prepare some stuff, but I trust him that he will give me some words that we all can feed ourselves and, you know, just get some spiritual energy. So here I am with trusting the Lord. I prepare something, but I like to also pray. Thank you, Pastor David, pray for me, but I like to pray. And I like you ask you all, join me with your heart and your spirit. Can we do that? Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a faithful Father, loving Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. As a Christian, we have to see and we have to know who we are. It's very important because this question, it's raised in my mind when I was a very young boy in school. That was a subject to write some sentence for it in a school. They give me that in every students, I was, I think, grade 5, that write that who you are, where you come from, and where are you going. That kind of title, you know, that we have to write about ourselves and our life and if we know who we are. So it was a big question. And I think until I met Jesus, I never satisfied with the answer because I never knew who I am and what I'm doing, where I come from and where I am going, what's the end. There are some books, there are some other religions, they have some ideas, but once come, you know, to reality, obviously there is a big question mark for every person except the real Christians, because we know who we are. We get the identity when we met Jesus. As a Christian, Jesus Christ is our identity. So we know who we are, and we know where we're going. Beside that, we have a Bible, we know where we're coming from. I wasn't monkey. I wasn't kind of just something happened, just I come to the earth. No, I know where I'm coming from. Very clear. So this is no more question mark for me. But to knowing that is not enough. To knowing the things is not enough. Because knowing the things can give us so much understanding. Sometimes we start bringing some new ideas that change the path that God has for us. Change the path that God has for us. Like a Satan. He knew. He knew who he is. He knew. He knew about God more than many of us, right? He's one of the angels. And he knew so much that his path is changed. So my question today, that are we know who we are in Christ? Are we know our path? And how are we doing with that? The verses I have here, it's from Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. I like if somebody who has a loud voice, nice and good reading, I like to read it for me, if you don't mind. Somebody is in the congregation, they can do that. Or maybe I should ask Pastor Dave. He's the man. Can you do that? Can you help me with that, please? Yeah, please. Thank you.
Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you.
Amen. Amen to that? I want to thank God for the Bible, the book we have. To bring us a lot of hope, to show us the promises of the God. There is a lot of promises in the Bible, from beginning of the Bible. And we can see that Paul here has been reminding us some promises, some good things that give hope to you and me, to us, to his body, to the church, that we can trust and live every day to trust in him. I was a sinful man. I mean, we're all born in sinful nature, but some of us sometimes they get living atmosphere that we continue and grow in that sinful nature. I born and grow in a Muslim family and Muslim culture. Back home from Iran, a city named Shiraz, very close to the King Cyrus, all historical buildings there, like 1 hour from there. I don't know if you guys know about that. Anyway, I grew up there, but I did have a very loving family. My dad was a hard worker. And he was a bus driver, working very hard to bring every day, you know, food to the table. My mom was a hard worker at home. Usually, the culturally back home, the man is work at the outside and woman work inside the house. But I wasn't satisfied. From very young age, I remember myself that always I was trying to do something that I'm not supposed to do. And any things my dad and mom told me, I do it exactly opposite. That was a part of my nature. And I start smoking when I was 11. I start leaving home, run away on and off when I was 13. Been in different prisons until age 17 in Iran, and I was left Iran when I was 17. I wasn't a good guy. I was a person that my family. I know they did love me, but I also know many times they was praying to God, they wish I never have me. Sinful nature. I just wrote the words, right? Sinful nature. A lot of attitudes. Come to the point that I want to kill myself. I wasn't satisfied with the things, with the lifestyle I have. I left Iran when I was 17. I go to Pakistan. In Pakistan, I stay for a few years, actually 10 years. Then I came to Canada in 97. I met my wife 99, we got married. I mean, met 98, and we got married 99, and then we moved to Vancouver 2000. Was in Northland, but now it's been 10 years I'm pastoring. This year is celebrating 10 years anniversary of Persian Church in Tri-City among Persian people. I have 5 kids. The most beautiful gift God gave it to me is my wife, and my daughter Azadeh is one of the 4 daughters I have. Can you stand up, Baba? Yeah, good. Thank you. She wanted to be with me today, this morning. I said, you don't want to go to kids program? I said, no, I want to come with you. I said, okay. My other daughter, she cried, she wanted to come. I said, no, I can just get one with me, so. The younger one. So anyway, she came with me. I wasn't always like this, and I don't want to stay like this. In 1990, Lord come to my life through the ministry from OM team in Pakistan, man from England, who start become my friends, but actually I wasn't trying to be his friend truly because I want to spy over him and get some reports from him to send to the Pakistani government. There was this agency that look after the missionaries who have, you know, no mission visa but do mission work, so we should deport them back because it's an Islamic country. You cannot do this there. It's not legal. But his friendship, his honesty, his identity as a Jesus in his life, that changed my life. After 3 months living with him, everything changed. I was on my knee. I confessed all my sin. I asked God to help me to repent, because repentance is not easy. I asked him to help me to repent. And with the power of Holy Spirit, he's still changing me. Still changing me. That's why I say I'm not satisfied. I want tomorrow to be different than yesterday as a Christian. Not as a pastor, as a Christian. Because many people think, even sometimes my kids said, Dad, you are a pastor. I cannot do that. I said, no. If we are Christian, we have to do that. Why? Because we have an identity and we have a promises in the Bible that we can do it. We can do it. With the power of Holy Spirit, we can do it. But unfortunately, when we look today to the churches and the Christian world, when we look around us, what we see? We have some space between our belief or faith to Jesus and between trusting. I guess there is 3 steps. 1, we accept Jesus, and then we trust, and then we obey. There is faith. There is a faith, Christian faith, in the churches, in the Christian community around the world. But there is no obedience in many Christian lives. And the reason is because no trust. The trust is missing in the between. And when there is no trust, there is no power of Holy Spirit. Many times we are desperate before the Lord. Say, Lord, what can I do? I pray, I want this, I ask, I urge, desperate before the Lord. But we don't get the answer. Because we pray, we want to get the answer. We want Lord listen to us, but we don't listen to the Lord. We don't trust the Lord. And that trust, it's come with the power of Holy Spirit. The power of Holy Spirit to change people. When I accept Jesus, there are so many bad habits was in my life, in my daily lifestyle. Some of them was very open, and some of them was hiding. I think some of us can, you know, think about what I'm talking about. Maybe all of us. There are hidden things in the closet that we try, but we cannot do it. And that's the weakness we have. And I remember one of those hiding things that after I become Christian, after I accept Jesus, things are start changing. But one of the things wasn't changed. I was using the drug that I can do that in a home. Nobody knows that. I was lived by myself. And then when I go even to pray meeting, I was high and nobody knew that. In the pray time, I was just indifferent. I knew what happening to me, but not other people knew what happened to me. And then I tried many times to not doing that, Many times I pray, I say, God, I want to stop that. And I want to stop that, but I cannot because it wasn't in my power. And then one day in one seminar, I realized it's not me who have to change my life. It's the Spirit of God who can change my life. And I surrendered all. We have a song, I Surrendered All, right? I surrendered all, and I start trusting Him. And I remember I have that drugs, and I have a big amount of that. When I was decide to not using this drug anymore, and I ask Holy Spirit to help me because I knew I cannot do it anymore. Many times I try for 3 months, 2 months, but as I just keep going that. Just many people use a cigarette, right? Many times we don't want that. We stop that. But again, after some reason, we get up, mad, upset, something happened, we start using it again. So what happened? I said, Holy Spirit, help me. So I took that drugs. I want to put it in the bath, washroom, to the bath, and it was just let it go. But I realized, no. I put it in my room. I said, I will throw you when I know I have a power over you. Because I trust God, He will give me that power. And after 10 days, I was free from drugs. And no even small feeling that I like to use that test anymore. Then drop it in the bathroom and let it go. The power of Holy Spirit changed people. The power of Holy Spirit gives us a new life every day. Freshing our life every day. The promises of God. But first we have to go step by step. If we don't know Jesus, if we don't have Jesus, we never have a power of the Spirit. Of course, if we have anyone here who not believer yet, not get baptized, not born again yet, maybe you think you believer but not born again yet, as Pastor Dave announced that there is baptism courses, right? So we have to know, if you want to have a power of the Spirit, you need to born again first. Yes, the power of the Spirit will help everyone. There are times that you even don't know Jesus, the Holy Spirit help you, rescue, and give you, some bonus to, just give you test and see. But to have a power of a Spirit, you need to born again. You need to surrender yourself to the Lord and say, Jesus, now you are my God. Believe the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Believe the death of Jesus and His resurrection. There are things that we have to born again in Jesus, then we receive the Holy Spirit, but then this is a life just starting, not everything's done, but starting the new journey in our life, which that life has to step by step walk with the Holy Spirit and with the power of the Spirit, the life start changing. Or you have that power. Because sometimes, again, as I said, sometimes we know so much or sometimes we don't want to know so much. Sometimes we just, different people have different ideas. Okay, I'm born again, that's it, good. I go to church every Sunday, I pay my tithe, I go Bible study, that's good enough. But I'm Christian when I'm in the church or in the group. How about outside? How about when I'm in my bedroom watching TV? How about when I have a friendship with others? How about when I talk on the phone, I go on the Facebook? Am I Christian? Those part of the life, because if you have a Holy Spirit in you and you're walking with the Holy Spirit, it's everywhere. When you surrendered all, not committed, but surrendered. Because we have a good leaders who are committed to the Lord and do the good job. But when the worst time comes, those leaders are who bang us down. Commitment is not enough. Surrendered is the word. And that comes when you trusting. You take that words of the arrow out, like there is an arrow, there is a space. Have you tried sometime you have all of us, it's good, this technology, especially in Canada, we are familiar with the passwords going to the emails and this stuff. Sometime you try to enter your password, you know your password, but you try it, it doesn't go through. Why? It's the same password. I mean, I tried, it doesn't go through. You just get, frustrated. And then you want to reset it, and then if you realize there is only, everything is okay. But there is a couple words there. There is one big A or maybe big B. You're just missing that. Everything is in the part, but there is one word has to be in the bigger word, right? In the capital words. And then after that, our Christian life many times is like that. Knowing Jesus, worshiping Jesus is not enough. Because you and I, we need to have a Spirit of God and power of a Spirit to change in our life and see the change in our life, and through the change in our life and through our lifestyle, life of others get changed too. That's only way Many times I try to change others. I try to share the gospel, give a lot of theological words, a lot of stuff, but it doesn't affect. I want to, people come to me and say, Pastor, I want to make my wife Christian or my husband. It doesn't work. I do so much. I said, don't do anything. So why? Because I said, you are not the one who's supposed to change your life, your spouse wife, spouse life. It's not your job. It's a job of Holy Spirit. You try to change yourself. You try to obey the Spirit of God in your daily lifestyle, in your attitude, in your decisions. Then see how Lord will work through you to others. It's the Spirit of God. It's the power of Holy Spirit. When we trust God, we can walk on the water. Peter, he knew Jesus is walking. He knew, right? But when Jesus said, come, if he wasn't trust, he wasn't obey. Because of his trust, he obeyed Jesus. Many times in our life, we cannot obey. We cannot obey because we are not trusting. And if we don't trust, we not see the Spirit of God working. We cannot see the power of Holy Spirit. So today, the challenge is, are we trusting the Lord to able to experience the power of Holy Spirit? And again, is it just very simple words for many of us? Just one capital word. One word has to be capital. Promise of Jesus through the Paul here said, there is no condemnation. Yes, there is no condemnation for you and me because we accept Jesus. But we have to go and read the whole words. Or we have a Spirit of Jesus with us. The Holy Spirit need to involve, intervene for every movement we have in our life. To able to see the power of Holy Spirit. To able to see the miracle. Today, in the church community, in the Christian community, we don't see so much miracles. Except some TV things, unfortunately, I don't want to be negative, but some of them are just show off, not really true. They're pretending something, because people want people money. Reality, we don't see so much miracle. Why? Why? God did not change. The Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit. We are maybe going to so much, like there's a food, you make it so much salty, it's hard to eat it. Some people are really doing too much. They're pretending Holy Spirit, which is not. Because same person pretending in the church and doing so much things, acting weird in the church, you go to home, it's the lifestyle, you see his relationship with wife or kids are not are supposed to be. So much salty food, or there is no salt at all. Like, no. I'm very simple, plain man, right? We have to understand. We have to let people know who we are and what we're doing by the power of Holy Spirit. And how that can appear, I just said a few more words. Like you want to maybe said, okay, how can it appear? We wrote in the words that we are under grace, right? And forgiveness. One of the way I can show to my family and then a community, if I am under grace, it means I was in the dark color, black or blue or brown or whatever, but the Jesus blood washed me as white as snow, right? So when it's washed me as white as snow, it means I'm white now. Anywhere I go, I'm white. But hey, you are under grace and you are become white. If you don't forgive somebody else and hide it in your heart, then there is a small dot. Is it brown or blue or black? I don't care. But there is a small dot. It's not white yet. Then you have to forgive. To able, you have to, if you are under grace, you have to give it grace. This is how you can show others power of Holy Spirit. I'm just give you one tip. There are so much things that I'm sure Pastor Dave or other leaders here, they can equip you, they can help you to know what's going on. But just, there is one of the small things that, how many of us have a broken relationship that we need to ask God to work in it? We try, it doesn't work. I cannot love this person because this guy's a jerk. How can I love him? I was jerk, and Jesus loved me through the man from England. Usually British people, we know that they have pride, but if you come to the Lord, then everything, no matter you are British or you are Canadian or Persian or Arabs or whatever, in the Jesus Christ, in his kingdom, we are humble. This is the power of Holy Spirit. If you speak tongues, if you do all that kind of stuff, you do miracles, you heal people, but you have no love, then you are empty. Can you love your enemy? Can you love them? Can you let Holy Spirit work in broken relationship? Can you let Holy Spirit to forgive those who not forgive yet? That is the power of Holy Spirit. You and I, we cannot do that. I was a guy, I never loved anyone. I always was lonely. But now, believe me, I love my enemy. I just give one testimony and I finish. That's how the power of Holy Spirit will appear. I work with the persecuted Christians. I go to Turkey once a year. For 1 month, I stay there and help work as an advocate for refugees and directly work with the persecuted Christians. And every month, one Monday a month, we hold the prayer meeting to pray for people. And we have sometimes live testimonies and also actually through the Skype or some people who are part of my church. There are people who been go through the persecution. Christian life is here is very easy. You just don't know what's going through some of us. But one of the guy was, he was arrested in Iran because his faith, because he believed Jesus, because he has a Bible. Imagine, he was arrested because he believed Jesus. And then he was the government tried to get some information from him, to put him under pressure in different ways, torturing, not physically. He said it wasn't physically torturing him, but he said mentally too much, problems, putting pressure on him, put him in the place, in the small room that he cannot even sleep. He can't just sit and, like drop of the water, tip, 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 always coming. So he cannot stop that. So much mentally tried to put him under pressure. And every day, at least 2 times or 3 times, they interviewing him, checking him out. His eyes is closed. He don't know who is the guy, but he walk him through some stairs and some ways, and then sit in the room, dark room. He has a bond in his eyes. He cannot see. And then the guy, he's interviewing him and ask him question. Same thing, repeating, just blowing his mind, just disturbing him. He said in a few months, every day, same guy was talking to me and just make me crazy. He said one day when I took me there, in the room when we're sitting, I realized the guy, when he's talking, I feel that he's sick because his voice wasn't clear. He said, I asked him, usually they're not allowed to ask questions, but he said, I asked him, can I ask you a question? First, the guy, he didn't answer him, but after like just a few moments, like seconds, everything was all quiet. The guy didn't ask question either. And then he said, I asked him again. He said, can I ask you a question? He said, what? What do you want to ask? It was very bad, no answering. The guy said, I asked him, are you sick? I feel you are sick. Your voice is not good. And the officer answered him, yes, I am sick. I have some back pain, whatever. And he said, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And he said, the room was quiet. For a moment, it was quiet. And then the officer told him, okay, pray for me. Right? Pray for me. And he said, can you put my hands where is the pain? The guy has no power anymore, no matter what, because Holy Spirit moving there. This is the power of a spirit to pray for a guy who bugging you, disturbing you, torturing you every day. Can we do that? No way, as a human, we can do that. And he said, the guy, he take my hands, put it in his bag. Eyes is closed, you don't see anything. And he said, I pray for him. Truly, I pray for a peace and pray that God take pain away from him. He said, during I was praying, I can hear his crying, but he's hiding it. And he said, after the prayer finished, I pray in the name of Jesus. And he said, the guy, I feel, he stand up and said, you want to make me Christian? No way I do that. No way I believe Jesus. He wasn't trying to do that, but he feel it that way because he was drawing it. He was touched by Holy Spirit. He said, I never heard anymore that guy. There was the officer change, different person come. I believe he become Christian. I don't know, but there's something happened. The seeds has been planted. Are we have that much strength to love our enemy? Okay, not love our enemy. Maybe in the car when we're driving, somebody just cut off our friend of our car and then how we feel, right? Instead showing some act, can we pray for that guy? It's very simple. Start with the basic. The power of a spirit change people's life. The power of a spirit bring the dead to the life. The power of a spirit can glorify the God and bring the unity to the church. And every knee can bow and every tongue can confess the same way that Peter confessed. Jesus asked him, what people think who I am? Everyone thinks, somebody thinks prophets, good teacher. But they said, what do you think? He said, you are a son of a God. You are a Jesus. And he said, it's the Holy Spirit in you that's saying that. As a Christian, we are familiar with a lot of singing and words and stuff. But in your daily lifestyle, you have to be familiar. You have to know and recognize the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's pray. Dear Father, we know that you are in heaven. And we know Jesus sit in the right hand, in the throne. We know, we believe, we read that, and that's why we accept you. But we need the Holy Spirit, as you promise. Help us to trust you. Help us to have a Holy Spirit. Help us to surrender our life, to live a clean life, to accepting the reality, accepting the truth with all our heart, so that truth can set us free in our daily life, free from the habits, free from the addictions, our mouths get free, our language, our tongues, our eyes get free, every part of our body, every cells in our body, every movements. Father, help us to repent truly. Help us to surrender it all. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.